That's why he wears my jersey, right? So good. Hey, I'm here. This is kind of a fun time for me. It's one of my favorite times at Cane Springs. It's when we do baby dedication. Some of my really good friends, Blake and Linnea, are dedicating their baby Landon. But before they, now you can come on up. Before we actually get to them, I want you to understand what baby dedication is. It's not really baby. Landon can't really dedicate. Is he wearing the suit? That's awesome. Landon can't dedicate himself to really anything. He's pretty well dedicated to eating and keeping his parents awake. I mean, that's really all he can do at this point. What baby dedication is Blake and Linnea are saying to you today, we want to raise this one to know Jesus. We want to do whatever it takes so that this baby grows up and has Jesus in his life. Right. And you know what? Let me tell you. Parents, listen. You need Jesus to fill the gaps. I don't know how good a parent you are. Probably great. You know, our neighbors are filled with great parents. Let me tell you, you're not good enough. You need Jesus to fill the gaps. And that's what we're asking today. So, we're going to dedicate a little Landon. Do you think he'll come to me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Oh, yeah. That's so cool. Check it out. Did you guys get a good look? Yeah. You know, this is the Miller section right here. This is where all the snapshots are. You see that? Check that out. How old is Landon? Landon. And so, where are we at sleep-wise? Through the night, and how many hours is that? 10.5 hours? Do I hear an amen? Oh, it's so great. He's so great. We're going to take a moment. We're going to pray for Landon, okay? Would you join me? Lord God, this boy is awesome. So sweet and so perfect. And we just pray, God, that this little boy would grow up to know you. And he's going to face lots of different barriers, lots of tough times, God, because that's just the way our world is. But I pray that you would fill in the gaps, that he would know you, that he would follow you. That's right, buddy. And I pray, God, for Blake and Linnea. They're busy people. They got a lot going on. I just pray that you would intercede on their behalf, that they would get time for this kid, and that you just hold them all together. And for little Lucy, I pray that they would always be friends, God. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'm going to give them back. And I got a couple questions for you guys as parents. And I know you know the right answers, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Will you do what it takes for this beautiful child to grow up to know Jesus? Will you read him Bible stories? Will you take him to VBS when he's old enough? Will you get him in Sunday school? And here's another, as you walk through life, just point out little God moments in his life so that he can see that God's real. Will you do that? Cane Springs, I got to ask you a question. Will you continue to do the things that it takes? Did we just spit up?
Yeah.
Perfect. Boy, that diaper came out quick. Wow.
Grandma's here.
Grandma is on it. Cane Springs, will you do what it takes? Will you continue with your time and your talent and your effort, even your money, to do what it takes for Cane Springs to reach little babies and kids like this? Will you do that, Cane Springs?
Yes.
Okay, Sunday school sign-ups are right outside. Hey, guys, we love you, and you know, I don't know if you guys don't even know this, but Blake does so much to help move Canyon Springs forward and get the word out about Canyon Springs. These guys have done so much for us. We have a little parting gift for you. This is a little baby Bible right here. Actually, this is a good one. This is the NIV. You can have this all through growing up. It's the whole Bible. But for you, Blake, there's pictures too. So, have that. Hey, let's give our friends a hand. Thank you. Well, you probably noticed that I am wearing my Charger jersey again for a second week in a row, and I'll just say this. It's only crazy if it doesn't work, right? That's right, and that's why we brought Jared Meyer. Jared, come on, please stand up. Two services in a row. Show them the back of your head. You see the ball? It is only rare if it doesn't work. Well, in this same theme, since the Chargers won last week, I'm giving the exact same message as I did last week, all right? How's that sound? So here we go. We're going to start off with our verses. These are our, this is my memory verse for the year, and I'm making it your memory verse too. Who doesn't want to live like this? We're going to say it together. Here we go. Ready? But let me run loose and free, celebrating God's great work, every bone in my body laughing, singing, God, there's no one like you. You put the down and out on their feet and protect the unprotected from bullies. Okay. First service was so much better. I'm making you do it again. Come on, let me hit it with enthusiasm. Here we go. One more time. Let me run loose and free, celebrating God's great work. Every bone in my body laughing, singing, God, there's no one like you. You put the down and out on their feet and protect the unprotected from bullies. If you say that every day for this next week, in a week, that'll be etched in your mind. But you know what? I want it more than etched in my mind. This is how I want to live. I want to be free. Is there anybody in this room that wants to be free? Free from the worries that wrap around your ankle. Free from the anxiety. Maybe free from your past. Running. Loose and free. Every bone in your body laughing. Saying, God, there is no one like you. You put the down and out on their feet. Protect the unprotected from bullies. That's what I want. Now, as I read this, it's funny. I was talking to a buddy of mine about a guy that had, you know, kind of messed up his life a little bit. And I was talking about this verse. He says, yeah, I know, man. That was his problem. He ran loose and free. That's the funny part of that statement, right? Because I'm guessing that we all remember a time in our life when we ran loose and free. Right? Don't want to admit it here in church. In fact, I have an artifact from that time in your life that I was able to find. And this one symbol kind of represents loose and free living. Ready for it? There it is! The red Solo cup! Now, listen. Loose and free can look different on a lot of different people. You remember loose and free? It was the weekend your parents went away. It was when you moved into your college dorm and there wasn't anybody there telling you what to do. It's when you moved into your first apartment and you could do whatever you want, eat whatever you want, drink whatever you want. Loose and free. You had a reminder of loose and free. A couple years ago, I went to my 30th high school reunion. You know what that means, why we go to your 30th? Dude, you're old. And I don't need any reminders. You guys don't need to send me any more information about getting ARP cards, okay? Because they keep sending them to me, and I keep throwing them away. I'm in full denial. But it was wild. I didn't go to my 10 and 20 year, but I went to my 30 year, and that 30 year reunion was weird because some things really changed, and some things were exactly the same. And one of the things that changed is the way we all looked. I don't know, has anybody been to a reunion? Did they do this at yours? They put your picture, your senior picture, right there. This was mine, right here. I don't know what was in my teeth right there. It's so weird. And we're all laughing about this. And one of the first guys I ran into is a guy named Jeff Habacco. Jeff actually he wasn't really a friend of mine, but he's right next to me in the yearbook. And here, in fact, I have our yearbook pictures. There's Jeff. Would you love that? So I ran into Jeff. And what do you think Jeff looks like? bald. Nothing. I mean, really, no hair. He went from that to nothing. It was hilarious. So some things really changed. Some things didn't change. I show up, and I walk into this hotel, and the first people I ran into says, "Hey, you want to come upstairs? We're doing Jaeger shots." You want to know if I went? I'm not going to tell you. But I don't really remember a lot about that night. You guys know me better than that. I didn't go. So we're all kind of hanging out. I stayed down there. We're all kind of laughing about our little pictures on our name tags. And one guy, I remember, his name was Stan. Stan lived right around the corner from me growing up. And Stan was pointing that to his. He says, "Oh, man, I remember that day. I was totally stoned." He's laughing, and we, you know, we're kind of carrying on. We're all laughing with him, too. Well, later that night, me and Stan were talking. And he asked me what I do for a living. You know, when you're a pastor, you kind of want to hold off on that. Because then all the Jaeger talk gets really nervous around you. But when I told Stan what I did for a living, he took that opportunity to share what was really going on in his life. And I still remember the line that he used. He said, "You know, I wasted 24 years of my life on alcohol." And what was so funny, what was so hilarious, loose and free, man, became his biggest burden. See, here's something that we don't realize, and this is gonna take a second, so I'll be worth the wait, hold on. Miller family can see this right now. This way. Hold on. Maybe it's not worth it. Golly. It's so much easier first service. You see, what we don't realize, what Stan didn't realize, is that at the bottom of the solo cup, there's a fine print. And sometimes loose and free leads to this. That was hilarious. So I had a friend make this for me. And when I went to pick it up from his house, he had named it, put it Jelaine on there. It's funny, I hesitated to show you second service because I got in so much trouble first service. Believe me, I showed her beforehand. This isn't a symbol of marriage, by the way. This is the fine print that you don't read when you live loose and free. I mean, I have so many stories that I've heard over the years. There's one guy. His name was Bob. He used to come to church a long, long time ago. It's been very many, many years since he came here. And we kind of got to know each other. And Bob, when he was in college, he lived as free as possible. But it wasn't necessarily alcohol. That was part of it. It was women. And he told story after story after story of all the women that he'd been with. And then, you know, just seeing the time of life when you kind of wake up and you realize, hey, I got to get married. You know, that's what everybody's doing. So he got married, had three kids. And then marriage lost some of its shine. And he started looking for other conquests. Just living loose and free. And now he's alone. He's empty. And in his wake are all these broken relationships. Because suddenly, the bill came due. There's another guy. He had the most beautiful wedding. I know because I performed the ceremony. His marriage lasted about a year and a half. And I ran into him recently. It's been 8 years. And he said, "You know what? In those 8 years, there hasn't been a woman that I've been with that I haven't cheated on in 8 years. And now he's struggling, and he's carrying the weight. and he's alone. What started out as loose and free, and then where he wanted to. Let me ask you, is there a chain you'd like to drop today? Is there a ball that you'd like to cut off your feet? And get to a real loose and free. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a moment. Let you bow your head. We're going to pray. I'll put my ball down. Just take a moment and say, God, this is what I want to drop today. This is the worry. Maybe a big thing. Maybe it's a big thing from your past. Maybe it's a small thing that wraps around your ankles. But God, this today. Sometimes it helps me. I put my hands out like this. Say, God, this is what I've got. Help me to drop this today. Just take about 20 seconds and just ask God to speak to you this morning. Jesus, I just pray that you'd help us listen to you today. I pray, God, that there would be people that walk out of here lighter. And we can live loose and free as you intended. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, today I want to give you three ways that we can live loose and free. We're going to kind of go back to some of the verses that we started last week in Romans chapter 6. And there are three things that we're going to find today that we need to do. Three steps. We need to declare, we need to decide, we need to devote, and we're going to talk about those this morning. This is where we want to get. Jesus said this, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. You won't be free and then later have to pay a penalty, but free and the bill will come due. You'll be free. You'll have purpose. You'll have peace. That's what God promises us. So if you have a Bible, open it up to Romans chapter 6. If you didn't bring a Bible today, that's okay. I'll read to you. You'll be able to get it. That's fine. But as you keep coming back, bring that Bible so that you can highlight it. You can write it down. You can look at it. You see the words for yourself. I think that's really important. Now, let me recap as I walk around chained up here. Last week, we talked about an issue that everybody can relate to. And it's this. How come there are things that I want to do, I know I should do, I'd be better off if I did them, but I can't do them? Why is that? And that's true for everybody. You know, some of you are, you know, your Bible thumper, you know, grew up in, you know, in the South, and boy, you've had your Bible, and that Bible, that's your standard, and you can't reach it. And there are other people that are new to this whole God thing. In fact, you might not even be a Christian, but you still have standards, and maybe it's what your parents said, or what culture says, or what the law says. But you say, okay, this is the standard. But even you can't live up to that. Why is that? Why do we all have that inside of us? Well, here's why. Because way back at the beginning, Adam sinned. And when Adam sinned, what the Bible says is, you sinned. That you were there when Adam sinned. Now, I realize that does not sound fair. And you're right. It's not fair. It's true. It's just not fair. But we realize that it's true. And we can see it. We see how sin is passed down from generation to generation. You know, that what your dad did, sometimes you do, you pass it on to your kids. My daughter was home from college a couple weeks ago, and we were driving around in her car, and she was driving. And as she was driving, I noticed that she was getting annoyed with other drivers. That she was saying things about people as they drove. And as I watched her, I thought, I wonder where this cute little road rage came from. And it became obvious to me. My wife. I just handed it off. You know, it's like the 4x100 relay. We just hand it off. It's not fair. And you go, well, it wasn't fair that my dad did this and I carried. You're right, it's not fair, but it's true. Well, let me give you another thing that's true. That's not fair, but true. And that is, if you have given your life to Jesus, if you follow him, if you give your life to him, then this is true of you. That when Jesus died, you died. When Jesus was resurrected, you were resurrected. When he was there, you were there with him. And you have all the same rights and all the same privileges and all the same freedom that Jesus had. You don't deserve it, but we have it anyway. All right, let's look. Romans 6, verse 8 says this. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Here's the cool part. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God and Jesus Christ. Now the word count means to consider, accept, to factor in. We're going to use the word declare. Declare yourself dead to sin. We did this last week. We're going to do it again. You have to get to the place in your life where you say, sin is not my master. Say it with me. Sin is not my master. Once again, sin is not my master. It no longer has to wrap around your ankles. That fear that you have doesn't have to be there. The guilt that you have from solo cup living does not have mastery over you anymore. The anxiety that you have no longer is your master. You can get to the point when you ask Jesus into your heart, he does this. It's a lot easier to take off and put on, let me tell you that. He takes this and he rolls it away. It is no longer your master. Now listen, I can read you these verses, and we could talk all day about it, but there's a problem, isn't there? We know it, but we don't feel it, right? Because we still keep wanting to do these old things that used to wrap around our ankles, go, same worries and same fears and same habits that we keep going back to. Well, not only do we have to decide, or declare, we have to decide. Look at Romans 6:12. We'll talk about what it means to decide. Romans 6, verse 12 says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been bought or brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. Look, you have two options. You can be used as an instrument for righteousness or an instrument of wickedness. It's one or the other. You can be used either way. And you can be a great looking, beautifully put together, drive a nice car, live in a nice house, person living in San Diego, and be a complete instrument of wickedness and bring hurt on your family and hurt on you and destroy relationships. But you can also be a person that looks big and scary and has a Duck Dynasty beard and lead worship at Canyon Springs and be an instrument of righteousness. Let me see if I can give you an example. I have with me a ping pong ball. Now, what was this ping pong ball invented for? To play ping pong. That's very good. Table tennis. And this is just invented so that you can go outside and play ping pong with your kids and have fun and, have fun with friends. That's what it's made for, right? I did a wedding this last week. Pavel and Galina got married. They met on Match.com. They're both Russian, and they were both looking for a Russian partner. Only problem is that Pavel lived in San Diego, and Galina lived in San Jose. And as they communicated back and forth, they emailed, they Skyped a little bit, they phone called a little bit. After a while, Pablo realized, man, this woman's too good. I got to go meet her. And so this was his pickup line. I'm not making this up. He says, how about if I fly up to meet you and we can play table tennis? You know, I don't know if that pickup line has ever worked before or ever worked since. But it worked for Pavel. That's what this is for, right? But if we take this ping pong ball and we add it to this, then it's not so good. And I don't want to see any of this out of my tailgate party, okay? Listen, you can be a great looking, all together, good job person and be an instrument of wickedness and bring hurt and pain and old habits to people. But on the other hand, you can have a despicable past, have done horrible things, and be used as an instrument of righteousness. And it all comes down to a decision that you make. Now, let's look at what that decision is. Look at verse 14. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you're not under the law, but under grace. Then it says, this is a common question, what then? Shall we just keep sinning because we're not under the law, but under grace? Which is really brilliant. It's like saying, I know my leg will heal, so I will break my leg. All right? Verse 16, it keeps going. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone as obedient slaves, you're slaves to the one you obey? Whether you're slaves to sin, which leads to death, or slaves to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Now here's your decision right here. You gotta be a slave to something. And some of you know what that's all about. And you were a slave to doing things a certain way and partying a certain way. And then the bill came due and you carried around that hurt and that pain and that habit. And even now, you're still trying to get it away from your ankles. That's a reality. Or you could be a slave to righteousness. Now, that's just a weird statement to make, to be a slave to righteousness. I don't think we're putting that on the brochure of Canyon Springs. Come to Canyon Springs, be a slave to righteousness. The reality is there's a lot of people in our culture who believe that if you follow God, that that's exactly what you are, right? That you are a slave. You know what these verses tell us? In a way, I guess they're right. Now, I don't like the term slavery, but the honest truth is, something's got to be a priority. Something's got to call the shots. It's either going to be my past, or it's either going to be what God says, and I'm going to try to lean on Him. Now, let me see if I can help you understand the way this might look. It all is a matter of who you decide to listen to. So, let's say that you're heading into that same temptation that you always have. Right? And I don't know what it is, you know. Man, I really don't need to buy those shoes, but they look really cute. Or I really shouldn't click on that website, but you know, the temptation's great, nobody's around. Or I don't really need that piece of chocolate cake, but boy, that thing looks good, and everybody's having it. You know, you get in that moment where you think, well, what should I do? Where should I go? What voice do you listen to in that moment? Is it this voice? Well, everyone's human. Everyone would be tempted by that. It's no big deal. Is it just a family trait? We all kind of do this. I just got it from my dad, and I'm kind of doing it. This is just the way we are. This is just my heritage. The people in my heritage, we tend to act this way. This is just the way guys are. Guys struggle with it. All guys struggle with this. This is just how I was. This is how I was born. This is what I do naturally. You know what the Bible says? You don't have to be a slave to those things. You are no longer a slave to the way your dad was, to the way all guys are, to the way what other women do. You are set free. You have to make that decision. Who am I going to listen to? Now that brings us to our third step. We need to devote ourselves. We have to learn a new way to live. Look at verse 19. I'm using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. What he's saying in that moment is, here's the example from everyday life in slavery, because that's the way life was. Everybody knew what a slave looked like. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. Who are you going to listen to? When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. You were loose and free. Solo cup living. Verse 21 describes the benefits that you got from solo cup living. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things resulted back. I mean, think back when you used to live loose and free, right? What were the results? Are those things that you want to talk about? Anybody want to stand up and testify? You want people at your work to find out? You want people at your work, you know, your wife to find out, husband to find out? Do you want to have, you know, your kids say, hey, so tell me about when you were in college. Where did that lead you? You know what? It's important that you hear me right now. Okay, everybody. We all know what this is like. We have all made decisions that we're ashamed of. If we're going to open up the books on your life, we're going to look through, there are going to be things in everybody's life you go, oh man, I wish you didn't know that. What the Bible tells us, the reason why God brings this up is not so that you feel guilty. It's not so that you carry around guilt from your past. Let me just give you a little hint on the way the devil works. You know, when you live like this, and you live loose and free for a while, and then you stop, he's okay with it. If you carry around the guilt, and you carry around the anxiety, because this is what I did, this is how I used to live, he's fine if you don't go back. You carry around the guilt, he's got you just where he wants you. If you are listening to guilty words in your head, I can promise you this. They are not from Jesus. It's somebody else trying to keep you down. Wrapping around your ankles. Look at our next verses. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sin is not your master. It isn't. Now you know our problem, right? We've lived a different way for so long. How are we going to live a new way? You know, it's been interesting. Over the last couple of weeks, I've had these people, I've just noticed different people that have lived despicable lives in front of me. You know, a lot of you people, actually. Give me an example. John Kitna. Anybody remember John Kitna? Remember John Kitna? He was like a backup quarterback. I don't think he ever really, you know, set any NFL records. He's just a perennial backup. John Kitna lived loose and free, baby. He lived wild. He was known for being crazy, drinking and women and all that. And his life changed one day when his girlfriend walked in on him with another girl. And that was the moment God got a hold of John Kitna's life. You know, John Kitna does not. He's a high school coach. And he is a high school coach for Jesus. And he tells all of these kids how to live your life and how to prioritize Jesus in their life. And God chopped the wrecking ball off his ankle, and he is living loose and free. That's what our God does. Let me give you another example. A couple months ago, we had Pastor Stephen from Uganda. Anybody hear when Pastor Stephen was here? He's like, you know, 5'1", and You've never met a guy who is more on fire for Jesus. And yet as he's sitting in our house, Riley will testify to this, we're sitting there and we're talking about his life before he met Jesus. And it was all about beer, and it was all about women. And if I told you the number of women, you'd be blown away. And you've never seen somebody who God is using greater. God chopped that chain off his ankle, and he's living loose and free. Sin is not his master. I just read a biography about a guy named Adam Brown. I don't know if any of you have read that. He was a Navy SEAL. But the first 5 years out of high school, he was a crack addict. And no one would have given him any time of day, ever thought anything great would have happened in his life, and yet Jesus came into his life. He became a Navy SEAL. In fact, he became in the top 5% of Navy SEALs, and he passed that test when he was blind in one eye and didn't have full use of his right hand. Yet God used him to make a difference until he got shot and taken home. But until that time, he was living loose and free. Sin is not your master. It doesn't matter what you've done or who you are. You've just got to learn to live a new way. Learn to live a way different than the way that you've been living. So here's my challenge for you. Last week we handed out these reading card lists. I'm not sure where they are. We're going to make sure they're in back, right? Paul, can you make sure that happens? That they reading? You got it. Okay. So they're in back. You can grab one on the way out. It is 21 days to living free. 21 sets of verses. Most of them are 4 or 5 verses long. I have them all in my computer. I have all the verses printed out. I can read all of those in 10 minutes. And I am training my mind to live a new way. Training my mind that I do not have to be tied to my past. That I can be loose and free. Okay, here's reality. You can choose what you fill your solo cup with. It's going to be that all that old junk where you let God pour into your life and listen to his truth. Let's take a moment, let's pray. Let's get loose and free. Maybe just say this to God. Maybe in your own heart, just say, God, I want to live loose and free. God, I want to live like sin is not my master. Lord Jesus, I pray that your Spirit would pour into this place and that you would show people a light, that you would show them that you are real, that you have a new way, that their past, what, no matter how despicable it is, doesn't matter, and that you've got a brand new way for them to live today. Lord Jesus, work in our lives. Help us to live 2014 loose and free. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so here's, I know you're dying to run out and get a hot dog on the grill, so they're coming. But let me tell you how we're going to end. We are going to end with a song.